From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
From the News OK studios at Britain and Broadway in Oklahoma City, you're listening to the Open Mic podcast. Today I'm here with Barry Trammell, our columnist, and to talk about one of the biggest transformations in sports, Barry. It's right underneath our nose. We kind of take it for granted right now. In fact, I know we 100% take it for granted. But that's the Oklahoma City Thunder and the fact that Scott Brooks, a guy who got his first crack at coaching on a Friday night after P.J. Carlesimo had been tossed from the plane or barred from entering the plane, is now on Saturday in Orlando, Florida, going to coach in the NBA All-Star Game. It's really spectacularly interesting and, frankly, surprising.
Well, and the most stunning thing about Scott Brooks is the kind of personality he is. I mean, when you think of the NBA, everything's big in the NBA. The players are big. The talent is big. The egos are big. The personalities are big. The show is big. And then the team with the best record going into Thursday night is coached by a guy that might be an Allstate agent who lives next door to you, or a guy that, you know, has a mail route and goes to church with you, or a guy that, you know, might be, you know, the assistant principal at the local junior high. I mean, that's the kind of person you'd think of if you get to know Scott Brooks. And that's, you don't think of a guy that manages the egos of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, or tries to motivate Kendrick Perkins to, you know, do a certain thing. It's to me, the personality of Scott Brooks is what's so amazing, because he's just sort of an everyman, just sort of a nice fella who's ended up being able to play basketball pretty well, got to play quite a few years, and then coached a little and stumbled into this job that was really just sort of a permanent deal, and he's gone wonders with it. I mean, it's unbelievable the job he's done.
Let's go back to the stumbled into the job part, which I find interesting. And, you know, remember when they came here, and remember that Scott Brooks wasn't the lead assistant, or didn't appear to be.
It's a murky world. The Thunder's assistant coaching is a murky world since Sam Presti's operation is the head coach talks, nobody else talks. So we didn't know hardly anything about any of those guys, and frankly still don't know much about. If it wasn't for Mo Cheeks and his career as a player and a head coach, we wouldn't know anything about any of these guys.
Okay, let's go about it this way. So they come to town, and they got they've spent one season in Seattle. Sam Presti gets the job up there. We're covering it because Clay Bennett and his group have already bought the team. And they've also said, here's the proposal we want for a new arena, and we really need a new arena. And we were covering it like this is a prospective team coming to Oklahoma City. There was a strong feeling about it. Didn't look like things were going to work out up there.
No.
People for more important things. And so that they were coming here. And I remember thinking a couple things. A friend of mine was a sports editor in Sacramento, and he told me, he called him Scotty Brooks. He said, people around here love Scotty Brooks. Thought Scotty Brooks should have gotten the job here, because about the time that P.J. Carlesimo got the job in Seattle, the Sacramento Kings had an opening, and they hired Reggie Theus. The Las Vegas brothers, the Maloofs, their fascination with all things
Vegas. Theus, one of the great Tarkanian players.
One of the great Tarkanian players, you know, trying to find themselves after firing Rick Adelman. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever think firing Rick Adelman is
a great idea? Everybody that hires Rick Adelman gets better. Sacramento, Houston, now Minnesota.
I'll give you another one. Portland.
Yeah, Portland. Oh, what am I thinking?
Took him to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's right. He's been a good coach for a long time.
So anyway, in trying to find life after Rick Adelman, Scotty Brooks, son of Sacramento, is interviewed. You talked about his personality. He's an anti-Maloof.
He is an anti-Maloof.
He's the anti-Maloof. So
if Scotty Brooks had season tickets to an NBA game, he wouldn't be sitting in the Nicholson seats. He'd be sitting, you know what? He'd be sitting about 18 rows up behind the basket. That's where Scotty Brooks' seats would be.
So he doesn't get that job. He interviews. He's one of the people interviewed. He was on George Karl's staff in Denver. He interviews for the opening of the Sonics. And I swear, and this has been unconfirmed, I've always believed that they wanted to hire him. Clay Bennett, Sam Presti. My theory has always been that, of course, we later find out that Sam and Clay were really sort of sold on P.J. Carlesimo because of his time in San Antonio, and that he had changed, and you know, he wasn't the kind of guy a superstar would want to choke anymore, which turned out to be false, by the way.
Yeah, and now I'm told that Presti was the one that was really enamored with him.
So
that Sam had to convince Clay to hire P.J.
I believe it. But here's the other thought I had was a new owner, sort of rookie ownership group, rookie GM, and rookie coach. There was a huge allegation in Seattle that this team was being disassembled for the purpose of moving them. In other words, they were being torn down.
Make them a failure so it'd be easier to move them.
Make them a failure so it'd be easy to move them. And so that's hanging in the air. Obviously, that was wrong. They were making them a failure so they could make them a championship team.
Whether they were in Seattle or Oklahoma City or wherever.
It's clear. That's what every step that he did. But when he hired P.J. Carlesimo, that's really the only – that's the only – I need a mulligan here of the Sam Presti regime. Can you think of anything even close to that as far as mistake that Presti's made?
Oh, I mean, some of his draft picks. When you're drafting 2, 3, 4 like he did with Westbrook, Harden, Durant, it's hard to miss. But I guess you could say a couple of his later draft picks haven't been great.
Aldridge.
Yeah, well, although I actually think Aldridge's pretty good. I think he's going to be fine. And Surge is a home run in the 20s.
Mullen? You're not fired
up? Yeah, Byron Mullen, you know, that's not – of course, you know, you pick in the 20s. But for the most part, you're right. Everything he's done has just been superb.
So he adds – but he adds Brooks to the P.J. Carlesimo staff. And Paul Westhead – when reference to the lead coaching role was Paul Westhead, and of course he came and didn't say nobody said anything, but here's Paul Westhead, you know, a guy who you can tell the time of basketball through Paul Westhead. He was this and that and Big Five, and just everything about him was, you know, legendary, frankly. And Magic Johnson's coach. And, you know, 3 weeks into the season, out he goes, and here comes Scott Brooks. And there was a lot of question about, was he an interim coach? When are you going to remove interim from his title?
They said, you know, and they waited on that quite a while, too. I mean, if you'll notice, even after the success of that year one, 20-30 in their last 50 games, I think, It took a while. We didn't get confirmation that he was going to stay on for quite a while. I thought that was interesting.
Also interesting was sort of the, you know, you talked about managing personalities. As you've observed, Barry, you know, how does he do it? What is his genius of keeping all this sort of – it's not like he's managing LeBron James and
– Well, here's one thing, and I don't – this is just me speculating. I think basketball, college more than pro, but the pros also, they overcoach. There's overcoaching. I've been reading in the last week, there's a really good, on True Hoop, there's a really good thread going about the use of timeouts late in games and how coaches just habitually, routinely, automatically, late game situations, you call timeout to set up a play for your offense. Even though the evidence has become clear, a timeout in those situations helps the defense much more than the offense. Defenses can set up. Defenses can get the matchups they want. Defenses can get ready. And I think that's symbiotic of a overcoaching in the NBA. And I don't think Scottie Brooks overcoaches. I think Scottie Brooks lets his guys play. I think he has a rotation set, and he sticks with it. You know, if Russell Westbrook is 8 for 8 in the first quarter with 6 assists and no turnovers, you get to that
2-minute mark, that 1:30 mark, he's coming out. I mean, it's time to come out. I mean, it's Scotty Brooks believes in the rotation and says this is what we do and we're going to do it. And conversely, if Russell is 0-for-7 and thrown 5 passes into the seats, he's not coming out until it's time to come out. So he sticks by his guys, and he also sticks by his plan, and everybody knows their role. He's very slow to change. You know, massive move late last year is when he went from 9-man rotation to 10.
That was a big change for him.
Because we'd been talking about the 10-man rotation since the previous offseason. He said, well, I like my rotation. And it took him a long time. But I guess what I'm saying is he doesn't overcoach. He sets up a plan and lets these guys play. You know, there's not an excessive amount it's a pretty free-flowing offense. They don't run a lot of intricate plays. And I think the guys like that. When you got people like Durant and Harden and Westbrook, that's what you ought to do. So I think that's really good. So to me, I think he lets his guys play. He doesn't holler. He's not a screamer. You know, if you'll notice, the thing that cracks me up, every time you get one of these national games, TNT or ESPN, they mic up the coaches during timeouts, and then they'll show you a 10, 15-second clip. And it's always the same. He's really not doing anything except cheerleading. Come on, guys, keep rebounding. You're doing good. Keep playing. Don't relax. He's not lecturing them, really. He's just more, really been sort of an encourager. So I think these guys have responded to that. We've seen how these guys, and it's now been 3 years, so it's been a long time, but we saw how these guys responded to a stern taskmaster, and it wasn't good at all. And then all of a sudden, friendly neighborhood Scotty's their coach, and they think this is the greatest thing in the world. So I think his demeanor, for whatever reason, a psychologist probably given a lot better reason, his demeanor and his acceptance of the coach's reduced role, I think really works well with this team.
This is a team built for Oklahoma City, too. I mean, I was just at a sports editor's meeting for a couple of days, and a lot of people were asking me about how's that really going on. People are just going crazy out there. I'm really shocked at how well it's working. You know, again, 50 wins, Western Conference Finals. Now he's coaching the All-Star Game, best record in the West. And it's if we're not careful, we see this sort of some entitlement curve. Of course, these things are just going to proceed like this because, of course, we're entitled. But we're not, and this is not the way the rest of the sports world works. Actually, we probably need to step back and, somewhat be still in awe of it. But one of the things that, just in awe of it was not only – we're missing one other thing, is how good he has become – or how good he has become at you letting his players perform in clutch situations. I remember a time when we were sitting here talking about, well, Durant's not a very good clutch shooter because he misses all the time, and Scott Brooks is not drawing very many good inbounds plays, and that his end-of-game execution is not very good.
It was about a year ago to this, at about this time of year, when we were saying those things.
And they haven't had a – it's not like they do it every night. You know, it's not like they're hitting a game-winning shot every night. But they're succeeding in those situations at an increasing rate, at an impressive rate, and that it seems to have gone away.
And here's another thing to look at: we look way too much at the last 10 seconds of a game in terms of clutch time. Look at the last minute of a game. Go back to the great night in Denver. I mean, Durant with 7 seconds left, down 2, goes to the hoop, gets the dunk. Everybody remembers that play. But the reason that was a play that mattered is because when they were down 5 with 43 seconds left, the Thunder did everything right to get to the point where they still had a chance to win it. They ran, they run good offense, then they play good defense. And to me, clutch time is not just the last possession of a game. It's that last minute or two of a tight game. That's when you got to be in position to set yourself up for heroics. So there's a sort of a concept, I think, that I really like. It's a term that they've called it heroic coach, and what it, heroic coaching, and it goes back to the concept that a lot of players want to be the hero. You know, like Carmelo Anthony. I saw a quote from him the other day. Somebody asked him, with Jeremy Lin and all that, who's going to take the last shot now? And Carmelo said, well, naturally, I still want to. The truth of the matter is, no matter what team you're on, who's going to take the last shot? Whoever has the best shot. That's who should take the last shot. And it's sort of a heroic concept that's creeped into the NBA. And coaching has become part of that. Heroic coaching. Call timeout, set up the mystical play. And Scott Brooks does not seem to have fallen for that. He seems to be pretty comfortable in not being the heroic coach. You know, a lot of coaches around, you know, when Doc Rivers comes to town, I love Doc Rivers. Love listening to Phil Jackson. He's out of the game now, but during the playoff series, we got to talk to Phil twice a day, and I thought, this is amazing, because everything he said was interesting and wise, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a coach like that? But what you said a few minutes ago was right. I think Scotty Brooks is perfect for Oklahoma City and perfect for this team that was built for Oklahoma City, which is he doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to be the alpha dog. He doesn't have to be he reminds me a little bit of Eric Spoelstra, who's an incredibly underrated coach, because to me he's been put into an impossible situation dealing with, you know, the biggest circus in the history of professional sport, and he's really handled it fantastically, I think. And I think Brooks, we're not a circus here, but Brooks similarly has just been able to put aside his ego, you know, and has really done a phenomenal job in that regard.
Does he have an ego? I mean, that...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, what's interesting about it is...
Here's my point about ego.
Yeah.
I don't think you get to that point without a big ego. I don't think you get to that point making the NBA. A 6-foot white guy, probably not the fastest guy in his high school, much less, you know, in the state of California. A 6-foot white guy plays 9 years in the NBA. You don't do that without a big ego and supreme confidence in yourself, and then you don't do the same thing coaching-wise. I think some people are able to control their ego and sort of suppress their ego, so you don't really see it. Some guys, you know, they got to walk into the arena with people throwing rose petals on them. Some people don't, and I think Scotty's one of the latter.
He the one knock against him, and I think it's sort of media-driven, is how robotic he appears in certain press conference situations. And it's look at this camera in the center, look at the camera on the right, look at the camera on the left. And it's not a scan. It's a...
Oh, yeah. You know, here's what I wonder
about. Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight.
Here's what I wonder about that. And this is just a general question. Do good coaches... Do you think most good coaches were really good students in terms of accepting coaching? In other words, the old term, he's coachable. You think Scotty Brooks was coachable when he was playing for whoever all those years? Rudy T and all the guys he played for. I think the answer is probably yes.
The only way he stayed in the league is by being coachable.
Being coachable. And he's still being coached because everybody in the Thunder organization, next time you see a good quote from somebody in Thunder Blue that's not from Kendrick Perkins, let me know. Now, Kendrick is such a personality that, you know, Clay Bennett, Sam Presti, nobody messes with Gran Torino. So he does whatever he wants to. But everybody else, look at there's a reason the broadcast crew is so bland and anti-interesting and really doesn't even address what's going on in the court sometimes. It's not because those guys don't see certain things. I think they've been instructed. Here's the way we want this franchise presented. And I think... You see, Russell Westbrook. Look at the way Russell Westbrook plays basketball. And look at what he's done in his life. And then, all of a sudden, he starts talking. And he's the most boring guy in the world. And he has nothing to say. You think he really has nothing to say? No, he's coachable. They've told him, don't rock the boat. So he's boring in press conferences. Same thing with Scotty Brooks. Well, I think he's just following the franchise directive of standard... Don't say anything untoward. Boring is good.
Well, he wouldn't be the... Sam Presti is certainly not the first general manager to coach his field manager, court manager, on how to be. The movie Moneyball is making its round to the red box now. I read the book probably 1.5 times. I read it and I went back and read chapters that I loved. And the Art Howe, Billy Beane chapters were great. And there were segments of the book that didn't come out in the movie where basically Billy Beane told Art Howe, listen, here's what your job is. Stand on the top step of the dugout and stick your chin out and look like you're George S. Patton, and we're taking over. You're going through North Africa. Look the part. And that's what Scott Brooks does. That's what the reason Art Howe didn't manage Art Howe won 100 games, I think, back-to-back years, and he was out another year because he wouldn't do what Billy Beane wanted him to do. First of all, play the right guys at first base. I think Scott Brooks plays the guys that Sam Presti once played when he once played. And the second thing, in spite of what Sam says, and the second thing is he looks the part. Now, have you ever seen a guy a more of a good neighbored Sam approach to a question he doesn't like? He's got a way of saying next question without saying
yeah,
next
that's
question.
Right. Yeah, he just talks, and you realize he's not answering. He's not even addressing the subject. You know, why does Russell Westbrook have 7 turnovers every night? Well, we love what Russell does, and he brings a fearlessness to the game. And if you look at his improvement, it's a remarkable story, and he's just getting better and better. And he's through talking, and you think, what did I just ask him? I thought I asked him why Russell had 7. Tell me why Russell had 7 turnovers. He's not going to answer those kinds of questions. You're right. He's very good at that. And, you know, maybe he wouldn't work in New York. Probably wouldn't work. Well, first of all, Scotty Brooks, somebody like that, would probably never be the coach in a city like New York. But it works in Oklahoma City where the media contingent, we keep asking him the same questions, but, you know, there's 6 or 7 people routinely ask questions. Eventually you get worn down. In New York, there's 30 or 40. They can take turns and, you know, recharge the batteries.
A couple more things on Brooks. Who's coaching the Western Conference All-Star game?
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is there a better dichotomy of that? Scotty Brooks, not just coaching, you know, the Thunder with the best record in the league, coaching the Western Conference All-Star team. He's not just coaching Durant and Westbrook. He's coaching Kobe Bryant and Andrew Bynum and Dirk Nowitzki and Duncan didn't make it, but Tony Parker. All these guys, bunch of them with big egos, and Scotty Brooks is the guy coaching this game. In many ways, he's the perfect all-star coach.
He is a perfect.
Because it's natural for all-star coach, you got to get out of the way. He's going to do great at that.
Oh, they're going to love him. And I was going to ask you, do you think we're in some sort of new age of NBA coaches? Listen, Phil Jackson wasn't a superstar on the Knicks, but he was a presence on the Knicks. He wasn't just a guy. He wasn't.
Oh, yeah, big, yeah, he was the mayor. He was sort of the mayor of the Knicks.
He was a presence of one of the great teams in NBA history.
That's right.
I mean, people forget how good and important those Knicks were. They were important. That's important team.
Oh, man, yeah.
And then, you know, Pat Riley, who was really probably closer to Scott Brooks in talent maybe as far as on the Laker teams, but he played for Adolph Rupp. I think he was one of Adolph Rupp's favorite players. He had presence everywhere. When he was growing up in upstate New York, he had presence. And when Pat Riley was there, even though he was maybe 7th, 8th, 9th player, he was like, oh, Pat Riley. There's always Pat Riley. I think what we're heading into with Spoelstra and Brooks is a different era where playing the game helps, and Spoelstra didn't and Scott Brooks didn't. But what helps more is a blender. You're the guy who can sort of manage superstars.
I think there's still a bunch of different ways to do it. I mean, I think there's room for tacticians. Rick Carlisle, you know, just knows how the game is won and knows how to get guys in position. And, you know, he's about as boring as Scotty, really, when you get right down to it. But, I mean, he knows how to get guys lined up, to use a football terminology. And then you go to Chicago where Thibodeau, I might rank Tom Thibodeau the league's best coach for the last couple, 3 years. And basically it's this. He's going to talk defense. And if you don't want to talk defense, get on the Dan Ryan and go to some other city. You're going to play defense if you're playing with time. He's imposed a mentality in Chicago. So I think there's different ways to do it. But I do think let's just get everybody on the same page and go down this
make
road
them,
together.
And make them feel good about
yeah,
themselves.
Make everybody feel, these guys – these guys, I mean, I don't know if – I don't think they look at Scotty as a father figure, if you're talking about James Harden and Serge Ibaka. But I do think they look at him as maybe an older brother type. You know, this is a guy – this guy I can get along with, and this is a guy I like, and this is a guy I'm gonna play for.
He's Cole Aldrich's dad, and he's taking everybody to get him a snow cone after the game.
Yeah.
Now, the last thing I want to tell you about Barry or ask you about is this, the calling of plays and the mentality. And you said he suppressed his ego. He has an ego, and he just does a really good hiding. I know other people like that. But what I find is interesting, there was a quote from Durant in a game a couple weeks ago where Durant, the clock was running down in the second quarter right before halftime, and Durant – passed the ball to Reggie Jackson, who got a shot right at time expired. And they asked, and Darnell asked Durant about that play. And sort of, what was going on there? It looked like you might want the shot, you know? And Durant said, I did, but Scott overruled me.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, he. That said something there, right?
And you know what? And it all, you know, goes back to, like, I'm the head of the household. In my house, I'm the head of the household. And if you have any doubts about it, I can, you know, just ask my wife. She allows me to be the head of the household. Well, I mean, Kevin Durant allows Scotty to run this team. If Kevin Durant wanted to run the team, he'd run the team. He could run this team by noon today. There wouldn't be any doubt about it. But talking about suppressing your ego, Kevin Durant, you know, it.
Yeah, that's right.
You think Kevin Durant has a smaller ego than Carmelo Anthony? Heck no. Kevin Durant, nobody thinks higher of Kevin Durant. The ability, confidence, all those things, what he can do, what he's capable of. Nobody thinks higher of themselves than Kevin Durant, but he's also able to see the bigger picture that, you know, being part of the troop is a better way to go. And I think that's an example why Brooks and Durant mesh so well together is they are sort of a partnership. And I'd say Westbrook the same. A lot of people think Russell's a little bit harder to corral. Maybe that's true. I don't know. But I think there's a lot of suppression of ego, and that's what team is built around. I mean, that's what success is built around. You look at the great teams in history. Now, not all of them. I mean, I think the Lakers sort of won in spite of their egos. But you look at some of the great teams. San Antonio, the model the Oklahoma City Thunder use all the time. The Spurs are all about putting aside the egos. I mean, they're blessed with a kindred spirit of Kevin Durant and Tim Duncan, same kind of personality, selflessness. And so I think that idea that suppression of the ego or sacrificing the ego for the good of the squad is not just limited to Scotty, but he's definitely a big part of that.
And on Sunday in Orlando, Florida, Scott Brooks will suppress his ego to get into the Amway Center so the fire marshal does not start throwing out egos. There's got to be some rule. Too many egos in one place. There couldn't be any more than in Amway Center for the NBA All-Star Game, and there he'll be coaching the All-Star.
My only advice for Scotty on this weekend is take your credential, because otherwise they might not recognize you. They might not let you in. You better take that credential.
You know, they'll know Spoelstra because he coaches in Florida, but maybe not Scott Brooks. That's all for the Open Mic Podcast, but you can stay with the best coverage team every day in News OK and every morning in the Oklahoma.
From the Opubco studios at Britton and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK Podcast.